Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we preview the Holland Leprechaun Chase 5K. We talk to Lisa Blanchard with Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care about the topic of pre-planning. Ravenna High School is raising funds to fly to Turkey. We talk about why. Today is Go Red for Women. We talk about heart health and his combined love for real estate and giving back to youth make Drew Devereaux's story inspiring. We talk to him.
Holland Leprechaun Chase 5K returns to celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend. Yep, we'll talk about wearing green as well. Lace up your running shoes and head to the wonderful Centennial Park in Holland, Michigan, where race director Kevin Moss is ready to lead the pack. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning, Shelley. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for bringing in the swag and wearing your green, and about the leprechaun and more. What's your... what's your racing brand, you personally? You're a runner.
Yeah, so I love running. I love the people in the running community. They're so energetic. They're so fun. They're so positive. And I just love race experiences. And the Holland Leprechaun Chase has been going on for 9 years. This is the 10th year. So it's super exciting. And I just wanted to say, I could not agree with you more that West Michigan is the best region in America. And
I'm going to have to get you on tape before you leave then. And then you can start out the morning
testimony.
We'll do that. Let's get into our conversation. It's not until March, but now is when we start to make the goals. Holland Leprechaun Chase 5K. Give me the specifics first, and then we'll ask where your proceeds go.
Yeah, so it's starting and finishing at Centennial Park. It's running through Window on the Waterfront, and then it's running through the entrance of the Windmill Island Garden, so you can get an awesome view of the Deswan Windmill. And then you come back and run through the beautiful heated streets of Holland, Michigan, and you finish at Centennial Park. And what's super cool is that you get an awesome t-shirt, you get an awesome custom medal, you get an awesome bib, and... you're supporting an amazing cause, the Holland Educational Foundation. So you're helping give our local kids a bright future, which is what we all love. And that's why I'm so excited to be a part of it. And I can't wait to see all of the amazing runners at the Holland Leprechaun Chase 5K.
And, of course, drinks and snacks following the race. That's important. Epic timing, great timers for those who want to compete and more. Anything for the kids? Good man, what would the, you have like a Wii run?
Oh yeah, it's the, so we have a Wii chase for ages 4 to 8. And the kids, it's so much fun to see them get out there and run. It's supervised, so they're going to have a parent with them to be safe. But they also get a medal, and they also get a shirt. And they're going to have, that race is sponsored by National Heritage Academies. And they're making the custom medals for the kiddos, and they're super cool. I've seen them, and they are also providing snacks to all of the little kids who are going to be there. So it's going to be super cool. I can't wait.
Well, it might be cool in the weather. You never know what. Do you encourage us to wear green?
Yes. It's St. Patrick's Day, so.
It literally green. Is the day. How often do you get a Saturday where it's March 14th and you start your day off with a Leprechaun Chase 5K, a Holland Leprechaun Chase, right?
Yeah, not many. It's St. Patrick's Day is one of the best times of the year, and especially in Holland, we have the Curragh Irish Pub. So it's super cool to have that in Holland where a lot of people can go and have a ton of fun after the Leprechaun Chase. And our packet pickup is going to be there on the day of. So, yeah.
Yes, that's always part of the journey. Even the packet pickup can be fun. Tell me, Kevin Moss, more about the where the proceeds go. You mentioned the educational, the foundation, please.
Yeah, so the Holland Educational Foundation, it's Holland Public Schools, and they serve they fund a lot of Holland Public Schools activities for the kids. They fund field trips. They also provide grants to some teachers to provide assistance in homes, because the price of homes in West Michigan are not cheap. And they provide a lot of assistance to local families and local kids. So that's why we chose the Holland Educational Foundation, was just because it's a great organization that we know the money's going to go to a great cause. and it's going to be spent extremely well. So, yeah, I love the Holland Educational Foundation. I love the people there. Amazing people.
Yes. Well, oftentimes that's why one runs, knowing that the proceeds go to such a good cause and more. We know it costs money to, you know, buy a medal or two, but yes, the proceeds, thank you for that. Are you going to share donut holes from DeBoer's Bakery? Is that a confirmed yes?
That is a confirmed yes.
I didn't want to, you know,
the best
promise
donuts.
Anything, but...
The best donuts in the world. Best donuts. They're DeBoer Bakery. Shout out to DeBoer Bakery. They're the best.
Kevin, racing is no stranger. You've recently put on the Holland Turkey Trot 5K. You're great. Are we seeing more? And I think I know the answer. But yes, this is times. You want your fast runners, but more and more of us are walking and just enjoying the experience of running and being together on a morning at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, that's the most special part about the Turkey Trot and about the Leprechaun Chase is just being together, being as one community, being a one together united community where everyone belongs, where everyone's having fun. That's what's so exciting about the 5Ks is that you can run, you can walk, you can compete, you can shift off to the back. Whatever you do, you're going to have fun, and it's going to be a big celebration for all of us. So, yeah, you can do whatever. I always encourage running. Give it your best effort. You know, go all out. My dad, shout out to my dad. He's
in the studio.
Runner. Yeah, he's in the studio.
He's all branded, but this is all about the son. Yes, yeah. Ed Moss, thank you for your leadership.
He's the best. He does incredible work with runs, and he provides so much in ways that I'm unable to, because he has years of experience.
Don't rush
with runs,
Of course, that's the beauty of the aging process. But stay in your lane and learn from the best. But enjoy youth. Oh, a couple more questions. Is this stroller and dog friendly? You can tell me yes or no.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes.
So line
of
up
course.
In the back, obviously.
Yeah.
Even Fido may be faster than a walker, but maybe you respect your fellow runner walker. And then how does one sign up?
You can go to HollandLeprechaunChase.com, and that's how you can sign up. There's two options. You just click one of the races. It's the Holland Leprechaun Chase or the We Chase. And yeah.
And Leprechaun. That'd be like a spelling bee word, L-E-P-R-E-C-H-A-U-N. Yeah. No K in leprechaun. All right, what else do we need to know in saying goodbye, Kevin?
I wanted to give a shout-out to Don Curran. Oh. I know he's been on this show. He's a legend. He's the reason why I wanted to start the 5Ks in the first place, was because I had him on my podcast, and he inspired me to start a race, because he was just like, I was like, how do you do it? How do you start a race? And he was like, well, first you just got to have, he was like, first we were just like, I want to start a marathon. And then we make this call. And I was like, okay. He made me feel like I could do
That's
it.
Wonderful.
So shout out to Don Curran.
Cool. Well, his race is tonight and tomorrow. So I bet he'll look forward to seeing you there. And then there's a Shelley Irwin Fun Run on the 25th of April. I'll see you there as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, my friend. One more time. Details, please, for the Holland Leprechaun Chase 5K on the 14th of March.
Starting and finishing at Centennial Park, running through Window on the Waterfront, running... and you get an amazing view of the DeZwan Windmill in Holland, Michigan. And then you finish at Centennial Park, where you will get your awesome custom medal. You're going to be running in your awesome custom shirt. And you get an awesome custom bib with drinks and snacks following the race from DeBoer Bakery. And it's professionally timed by Epic Timing, so you know you're going to have an official amazing time. And it's supporting an amazing cause,
Wonderful.
The Holland Educational Foundation.
You know your stuff. And look, our computer screen is all full of the tulip fields on behalf of the Netherlands. That's just a picture to take a picture of. All right, thanks, Kevin Moss. Appreciate you and your family and this opportunity to lace up your running shoes and get healthy, stay healthy, prevent heart disease on this Go Red for Women Day on March 14th. Have fun.
Thank you.
Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care, proudly honoring every veteran and every person that lives. But again, there is an end. Now, let's be positive. Lisa Blanchard in the house on behalf of this conversation, because we want to talk about planning for our end of days. Good morning to you, Lisa. I call you a friend and a power luncher.
Yes, I know. I love it. And you look absolutely beautiful today in your red.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she's rocking it.
I'm rocking it? Okay, I spent an extra 5 minutes, but sometimes you slow down. And well, you've got to feel good to do a job well done. So here we are, and right back to you, Lisa. We can talk about your shoes all day long, but I digress. How do you spend your day? A bit more about you, and why do you work with a Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care?
Well, I was an RN for many years. And so I love helping people. I am the mother and the daughter of a Marine. And so veterans are very close to my heart. My youngest son, Sammy, is a Marine vet.
Thank you for his service.
I'm so proud. And I'm also the caregiver to my middle son, who is mentally impaired. And so I feel that doing advanced planning is something that every caregiver needs to do for themselves and for their person that they care for. It's important.
And even though you work with a Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care, we're not here to talk about the funeral. We're here to advance plan. So, yeah. Lisa, what is an advance planner?
So I help people through that process. They have a story to tell. They have something special that they want to share and a legacy. In particular, our veterans, of course. And so I help them put those plans in place. It's very important, I think, for families to do that, in particular because of the stress and emotional toll that obviously a death takes on the people that we leave behind. And so advanced planning relieves that stress. It lets everyone know what you want. It puts your desires in place, and you can finance it. You lock your prices when you do that. And also, it's just a way to make sure that your kids get along. Because everybody has different ideas when mom or dad passes away. And sometimes we're just not prepared for that financially.
Yes. And does every cremation and funeral care opportunity have a person like you that works us through this?
Most places do, yes.
Good. And this is your workplace, Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care.
Yes. I also work in Greenville. So that is Christensen's Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care. Rob Christensen and Joni Christensen own, they are locally owned. And Rob's been doing this so many years. And he was a manager before he actually purchased his funeral home there in Greenville. And he purchased that in the 2002.
That's okay. 2000s.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
2000s.
Yeah. That's, as they say, a long time ago. It seems like yesterday. Let's get into the details. Do you want the family to begin planning early, and, well, why?
Well, yes. There is a 100% chance everyone will die. And the typical age for doing advanced planning is 72. And you know, life happens. The best time to do this is when you are of sound mind, sound body, without the stress of having to quickly make decisions. You can sit with your family. You know, the holidays, sometimes people don't necessarily want to talk about those things, but it's a necessary, responsible estate planning is what I like to say.
Yes. When the family comes together. And you alluded to this, but who does need to be involved in advanced planning?
Well, like I said before, I have a soft spot in my heart for caregivers because I am a caregiver. So I really feel that anyone that cares for someone, I have a special needs son, I need to take care of that for myself and for my son. And the best time to do that, of course, is when everyone is of sound mind. And everybody needs to do it. If you have someone that you love and care about, it's just a kind gesture to do so that they don't have to worry when you're gone. And they don't have to guess. They don't have to say, well, would mom like this? Or
And how deep? I mean, this is this, does this include the will, or is this
is separate? And one of the best things about this as well is that this is exempt from being included in your assets. So if at some point in your life you need to go on assistance, financial assistance, they will look at all of your finances. And this will be exempt. They will not include this as an asset. So I really feel that that is an important thing to emphasize.
Does there, Lisa, need to be a person like you in the room guiding us through this conversation?
I think that's the best thing, yes, because there's things that you may not think about, like how are people going to deal with that closure? And sometimes people need to have a viewing. So many people think, well, I'm just going to be cremated, or I don't want to have anyone look at me when I'm in that state. But for the people that they leave behind, it's sometimes important. And that's why those conversations need to be had.
Yeah, it's the real nitty gritty, or going as far as what songs do I want?
Right. Your memorial service. And if maybe you want to have Aunt Marge's potato salad, because that was an important part of, you know, celebrations, and you want it to be a celebration of your life. Or maybe you want to have like your collection of quilts there. You can have those on display. If there was a song that was important to you and your loved ones, you can have that playing in the background.
Is this also, as I'm digging deeper here, Lisa, this is different than my wishes if I need to, have the plug pulled, the medical?
Yes, that's medical. This is something you could pass away in a car accident, unfortunately, or, you know, in your sleep. And this is just something that you put in place. We keep your file, and all the family has to do is give us a call, and we take care of everything. And another wonderful thing with that, too, is if you are a veteran, we get your DD-214 information, and we can take you to Fort Custer, which is free to veterans for them to be placed there at the National Cemetery, as well as a grave marker. So all of that are things that people can think about and put in place, let their loved ones know, let us know so that we can assist you.
Pre-planning and pre-funding a funeral.
Yes.
And more. Anything else you'd like to cover, Lisa?
I just want to say I'm really happy to be here. And again, Shelley, you look absolutely beautiful.
No, this isn't about me, but
go
ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I would love
life.
For people to come in and see me. I really enjoy meeting people. That's why I'm doing this. So, and I want to help them think about these things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be so serious. It can be a happy thing just because you're thinking about your legacy and being kind to the people that you leave behind, making sure that your kids get along. Everybody knows what mom or dad wants. And
no, it is a reality, right?
Yeah, and leave feeling relieved, like you took care of business.
And then, like you say, after the first visit and papers all presented, you just go on and live life.
That's right.
But don't wait until you're 72 to do it.
No, do it earlier. Do it before you really have to think about it. And hopefully you live until you're 150. So
I'm going there.
Me too.
Okay. We didn't jinx ourselves. Thank you, Lisa. One more time, how do we find out more about visiting you and yours?
I'm at Christensen's Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care in Greenville, and I'm at Michigan Cremation and Funeral Care on Linden Street in Grand Rapids. And we do traditional funerals and cremation, not just cremation. So we do natural burial as well. We have a lot of things that we can help you with.
Yes, we can dig into those topics as well. Mm-hmm. But for now, just get her on paper and
come see me.
And come see Lisa, because she has cool boots. Thank you, Lisa Blanchard. Take care to you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Ravenna High School, Ravenna, Michigan, raising funds to fly to Turkey this March. Yes, Turkey, for an international competition. Let's talk to you, Tammy Gantola, on behalf of your kids in this destination imagination. And I know you're in the thick of teaching today. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
Appreciate you and the good work you do at Ravenna High School. How do you spend your day, Tammy?
Teaching children.
Good. Who are your children?
I have English students and social studies, and I have a poetry class. And then my evenings are spent working with the Destination Imagination and the Quiz Bowl kids.
Let's get into that Destination Imagination. I know Odyssey of the Mind and Destiny Imagination used to be one and the same, but now slightly different. We're putting our spotlight on DI, Destination Imagination, Tammy?
Yes, we are.
What is Destination Imagination?
It is a creative problem-solving challenge-type learning, hands-on. It gives the kids a chance to experiment with engineering, mechanical building of things, fine arts, improv, community awareness and helping, and I said improv, and scientific. So they get to pick their challenge. And the kids going over to Turkey that have been invited are a fine arts team and an engineering team.
Wow. All right, let's repeat some of this. Are we talking the country of Turkey where the kids will fly?
Yes, the country of Turkey.
Wow. And obviously, funds are needed. But before we get into how that happens, who gets to go? And this is an international competition. Have you had to win here to get there?
So we have won before and been at the top of the world on our challenges. We started about 8 years ago giving great performances. So China, we were invited to go to China. We took first place at China, so Poland asked us to go there. So we took, in the same year, took first place there. Then we took another team when they asked us a couple years later that had been performing well in the global competition. And this year, after COVID, we've been asked a couple times, but after COVID and just other things, we decided this year we would accept the invitation. So it's based on their performance. They are one of three or two of three teams in the United States being asked to go. Being invited.
So here we are, early February still. Are we in preparation? Are we practicing for a competition?
We are, but Destination Imagination, the coolest thing is teaching kids to be flexible. And so this engineering team and this fine arts team now, because sending props over is an extra expense, have been asked to do the improv challenge. So for the next 3 weeks, they are going to do some cramming on the improv challenge and be able to perform that while they're there. And then they get a challenge. It's called an extreme challenge, and they have to solve it within 24 hours.
So a good night's sleep, and I'm not going to throw caffeine on kids, but and a positive teamwork event will be had. So what will they be asked to do on behalf of STEAM?
So they're going to have to, for the improv challenge, they will have to create shadow puppets and build a skit around shadow puppets that all fit in a 19 by 19 box. For their, I don't know the extreme challenge, but when we were in China, they had to create a skit around some history in China and build props with the stuff that they brought over ahead of time, not knowing what they would need. And so they built a chemical reaction while they were there and took actually second place. They were 9/10 of a point from first place in that. But on their improv challenge in China, they took first place. The kids will have an instant challenge, and I like to think of that as like Apollo 13 when they were up in the spacecraft and they had to figure out how to bring it home. They will have just different supplies that they're not used to, probably really not used to, because the culture is different. It's just simple things that they have around that culture, and they might have to build a bridge that can take ping pongs across 24 inches. They might have to build a pole that gives the least amount of shadow with the stuff they have. They might get an acting one or a nonverbal one, and that will be hard too because they don't speak the language, and it is in Turkey, and they'll have an interpreter to help them put it into English for the producers.
What will it take them to do their best, Tammy?
Just grabbing on what they know and what they've learned from the years, making that personal connection to what in life does what they're asking them to do, and then moving forward with a positive attitude.
Again, those from Ravenna High School heading to Turkey this March for an international competition when it comes to destination imagination, focusing upon STEAM learning collaboration. Tammy Cantola with us. All right, Tammy, how are you raising funds?
So we are having a popkin drive in a week. We are selling coupon books. We have had a quilt raffle. We sold pasties. We have had some donations, which have been really nice. The solar farm in Ravenna gave a hefty donation, and some community members have given great amounts. We have a rock, paper, scissors contest coming up at the high school, but they still have quite a bit to raise in the month that they have left. They have to raise $3,000 apiece, and they're working hard on it.
That's cool. So listeners can help how?
By sending donations to Ravenna Public Schools or writing me at tcantola@ravannaschools.org, and I can put them forward on that.
Yes. How are these skills helping these kids form adult future skills, Tammy?
My alumni have taken their skills right to the next market, which is really cool. I'll talk about my own children because that's where I started with this program. Besides, I did Odyssey the Mind. My one son is in productions and acting because he was our frontliner. My second son became an engineer because he was our technical guy.
Wow.
My niece is she designs props and sets for acting, for theater across the nation. I have another niece who is doing screenwriting. I've had kids go into marketing because you have to be able to talk to the appraisers, and they've learned that at an early age. Things like that. Yeah, it's actually, to be honest, as a teacher, I teach things in my classroom, but the things I do at night in the DI room are the things the kids take with them for life.
That was the answer I was looking for, and hopefully your kids come back to you, not only your own DNA, but those, and say, thanks for getting me involved. Okay, details one more time. What will happen early March?
In March, on March 1st, we are traveling to Paris, the 1st, and it's a layover, and the kids will see 7 hours of Paris. We're going to do it in a fast pace. Then we get on a plane and go to Istanbul. We do 3 cultural days there, and then we head to the tournament for 4 days, and we perform and get our awards, hopefully.
Hey, do your best. How's that? Well, again, that is, they'll be missing their reading, writing, arithmetic, but that's called education across the pond. Tammy Cantola, thank you. From the Destination Imagination website, we inspire young people to imagine and innovate today so they can become the creative and collaborative leaders of tomorrow. Keep up your good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
What does the Cleveland Clinic's new Love Your Heart survey show? We talk to you, director of the Cleveland Clinic's Women's Cardiovascular Center, Leslie Cho, Dr. Cho on the line. Let's discuss this as February, American Heart Month. We know the importance of our heart. Dr. Cho, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you and your specialty interests on general cardiology, heart disease, peripheral arterial and vascular disease, and more. It's what keeps us going. I hope it's what keeps you going every morning, and the good work of Cleveland Clinic, well known. All right, let's get right into this Love Your Heart survey. What's been happening?
Well, we conducted a survey about aging and longevity and how to keep your heart healthy as we get older. And what we found was that Americans are super confident, super optimistic about their heart health. But unfortunately, many of us have risk factors that we don't even recognize. You know, a lot of our patients that we surveyed have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and of course they, you know, don't exercise as much and are not eating as well. And yet they feel super confident about, you know, their heart health. And there is that disconnect. You know, we can be very optimistic and confident, but the more important thing is that we have to control our risk factors, because if we control our risk factors, we can dramatically lower our risk of having heart attack, stroke, and vascular dementia.
mentioned a couple. Let's ask what are the two or three risk factors we truly need to be measuring here?
Well, we really need to be measuring blood pressure. That's blood pressure, people really have no pain. Even if you have high blood pressure, you have really no symptoms. And yet, it could lead to heart attack and stroke and dementia. So it's important to get your blood pressure checked. Cholesterol, again, doesn't hurt. And so you don't know until something terrible happens. That's why it's important to get your cholesterol level checked. And then, diet and exercise. It's hard to do diet and exercise well. You know, we try, but it's hard, especially exercising, because we're all busy. We all lead very hurried lives. But it's critically important that we do diet and exercise and we continue to sort of think about, I eat well today. That actually helps me in my 70s and 80s and 90s to live well, to be smart, to be cognitively intact, and to really live your best quality of life.
Tell me about the survey finding that most Americans believe there are things they can do to improve longevity at any age. Is that true?
Absolutely true. It's absolutely true. You can be in your 70s and 80s and you can start exercising and it can improve your heart health. You can be in your 20s and 30s and not eat right and, you know, do terrible things to your body. So it's never too late. And obviously, I mean, it goes without saying that if you are in your 30s and you start exercising and eating right, you're going to have a great life. You're going to have a great cardiovascular life. You're going to live well. You're less likely to have heart attack and stroke and dementia. Now, there's genetic risk factors, obviously. But even if you have the world's worst family history, by controlling your risk factors, you can maybe get on less blood pressure medication, or maybe you can stop yourself from having heart attack. Like one of my patients whose every member of their family had a heart attack in their 50s, well, he didn't. He's in his 70s. Mm. And he's able to do that because he's on medication, he's eating right and exercising.
Dr. Leslie Cho with us, director of the Cleveland Clinic's Women's Cardiovascular Center, reviewing the Love Your Heart survey, showing Americans, well, we want to age well, but we don't recognize risk factors. Hence, your conversation lends us to that. February, of course, American Heart Month. And what about the niche of women? We know heart disease continues to be the number one killer for women as well.
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, most of our patients that were surveyed didn't know that menopause dramatically increased your risk of having heart disease because menopause increases your cholesterol, increases your body weight, increases your blood pressure. Again, it's really important as we get older that, you know, we want optimism, but we want smart optimism. We want you to get your numbers checked, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your weight, your diabetes, and then control your risk factors. We are so lucky to live in an era where we can do something about our risk factors.
Thank you for that. And remind me of the importance of sleep.
Oh, critically important. You should be getting good night's sleep. You know, most people say 7 to 8 hours. You know, what I say to my patients is as we get older, it's natural to have less sleep. That's natural. We don't have to stress out about it. We don't have to, you know, be anxious about it, take pills. But it's important to try to maintain good sleep hygiene. Put away your phone. You know, make sure it's a dark room. Don't drink caffeine, you know, if you know that it's going to prevent you from sleeping. Alcohol, unfortunately, makes you fall asleep quicker, but it wakes you up. So, you know, maybe cutting back on alcohol as we get older actually improves our sleep patterns, too.
There we are. And, of course, we shouldn't be smoking.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you quit smoking today, you can start improving your cardiac health today. And your body actually changes starting the next day. It's really important. It's never too late. If there's one message out there, it's just never too late to lower your risk factors. It's never too late to get on a good cardiac program. Everyone can do it. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need any of these things. You don't need fancy equipment. you really just need to walk, eat better, and go see your doctor.
Thank you for that. All right, what's my best reference to find out more about the Cleveland Clinic Heart Health Survey and more?
ccf.org/loveyourheart.
Only have one. Let's do that. Thank you, Dr. Leslie Cho, on behalf of the Cleveland Clinic's Women's Cardiovascular Center. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's tell some stories. We bring you in Drew Devaux. That's D-R-U-E. D-E-V-E-A-U-X. That's important to know. We all have our brand, and this would be you. Drew, glad that you are here. We had the opportunity to meet each other at a Y event, a campaign morning where we took to the podium and we kind of bonded. Was that experience good for you?
Absolutely. It was wonderful. Got a chance to meet you, and that was the best. Some of the best stuff I took out of the meetup.
Yep, and raised those dollars for, again, our local Y and more, where you've been doing some refereeing.
Yes, ma'am, at the Mary Freebay YMCA.
Yes, wonderful branches. I digress. You also make real estate your main source of income. You specialize in vacation homes, where we'll put a bit of our niche. When did you know that you would be an entrepreneur, Drew?
Honestly, I want to say once I first got a labor job, I figured it wasn't for me. But I also received a lot of good feedback from guests and et cetera. So I was like, if I can make this company millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, I feel like I can do that for myself.
Thank you for that admission. Take me back. We both spent some time in North Carolina. You're from North Carolina. What did bring you to Michigan?
So I ended up playing college basketball and college football, and I stayed, finished getting my last year of basketball at Glen Oaks down South Michigan, getting my degree. I'm a business major. So I stayed and found a good job at a hotel, and I was a general manager for a while and stuck around. And
what brought you to the West Side?
The West Side. So one of my college profs, he was like, man, you know, you graduated, I can find you a good job in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's one of our bigger cities in Michigan. Instead of you going back home to your family in North Carolina. He said, I think you do good. You come from a military family, so I know you're able to adapt. So
here you are. And let's talk a little bit about some of your entrepreneurial opportunities that led you to where you are today.
Yes, ma'am. So once I got the job at the hotel, the hospitality industry, so I specialize in vacation homes. And I was like, man, I see how this is set up and how much, you know, revenue it brings in from doing daily reports at the hotel. And I was like, man, I know I could do this. Like, I see my potential. I see my personality. Being able to adapt. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to try this for myself. And if I fail, you know, we all set up in some. And my motivation was, if I fail, I just fail. But at least I failed trying.
So. They say we all fail somewhere. And that's how we learn, as they say. So you said, I can do this. And what was your next step after the hotel job?
So after the hotel job, while I was currently working there, I have bought a property, like Lansing, Michigan. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to see how it goes. I'm going to remodel it. Get it going for Airbnb. Did a lot better than what I thought it would be and ended up taking off. And I was like, man, if I can do this in Lansing, Michigan, which is our capital, I feel like I can do it anywhere. So just that creative mindset and that confidence I developed from sports as a kid. So I treat all my business like it's sports, you know. So I'm going to go, I'm gonna put the work in.
Yes, we'll get to sports in a minute as we look to inspire. So how do you spend your days today in 2026?
So most of the day, I know we briefly talked about being an entrepreneur, so I also own a transportation company. Yeah, so I do that every day, make sure my driver's on the road and deliver it up. So I do medical and I do HelloFresh, make sure my driver's on the road. And once they're off and safe, and then I dive back into my entrepreneurial journey by looking at housing or looking at other vehicles or other contracts, hopefully to fulfill for other vehicles that I have. So.
And obviously, you're far from being over yet. What qualities make for a good manager such as you?
I would say being able to listen and adapt. And sometimes even a good leader follows, right? Even good leaders start off following. So being open to feedback, even criticism, from employees and just taking this positive advice or something positive to look forward to keep building, you know, what you want to build. So being open to communication.
And if one is interested in talking to you about vacation homes, how's that business work?
So it's beautiful. If you wanted to reach me, social media, my Instagram is itsjustbasketball_. That it's itsjustbasketball_. And I'm on Snapchat a lot. It'd be Drew Landlord in the number 2. So those are my social media platforms. Or Facebook, Drew, D-R-U-E, and then DeVaux, or DeVaux, D-E-V-E-A-U-X.
That's cool. And, I mean, it seems like more and more, and I'm just guessing because it's the way that I know my group works, do the Airbnbs and the vacation homes versus the good old hotels? I mean, are we wanting more of a vacation home when we vacation versus a hotel?
Yes, ma'am. So when you go into my properties, as I will probably display later on my social media, that they are set up just like hotels. Yeah, so when you come in, it has the breakfast, it has the coffee, it has all those amenities that you, hot tubs.
Which we want.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, very, very cool. And what to take to be a good landlord?
I would say you have to be, I am not your typical landlord. And people, my tenants love that about me. So what I do is every Thanksgiving or Christmas, what I do is I take $600 off the rent. Or what I'll do is, for sure, what I do every 3 months, I put groceries in the refrigerator just to let them know that it's not a transaction, that we actually care about you. You know, hopefully you come back. But most importantly, when you do that, you want to make sure or try to build a relationship that they can bring somebody else the next time that their tenor is up. So just keep recycling and try to be a better person, but do things for them that's not just a transaction.
Thank you for that, Drew DeVault, with us again, realtor having a specialization in vacation homes. And let's put your YMC hat on. When did you know that the Y needed your talents?
I would say for me, it was honestly, I started just for the free membership, to be completely honest. And then once I gave, shout out to Mr. Dave Leggett, excellent guy, man, great ambassador to YMCA. Once he found out, you know, parents' feedback, like, oh, we love Drew, reffing our kid, making him feel special. Mr. Dave's like, you know, we got to put you in different programs.
Wow, cool. So how did you make kids feel special as a referee?
I would say for me, first, learning their names. Like, learning their name is key, you know, because that alone, it makes them feel like, you know, you're talking about them and special. But always hype them up, even when they do wrong. You know, let them do right. And then sometimes, you know, just stop the game and show them the right way to do things, but always be positive.
Yes. And yet you still had to call the shots as being a ref.
Yes, ma'am. It's wonderful because at the end of the day, you still got to do your job. But to me, honestly, I don't view it as a job. When I referee a game, I view it as I'm strictly focusing on the kid. So it's not anything about the game to me because I played the game. But it's more about showing the kids that the love of the game, you know, that they're welcome and feel special. So.
Drew, how has somewhat demonstrate this and answered this, but how have youth sports, your participation, shaped you?
I've been doing it my whole life since I was a kid. So for me to give back, and when I was being brought up with my, you know, adults around me, it wasn't so like positive. You know, for them it was strictly business, get the job done. Do what we're supposed to tell you to do and go. But to me, I don't think a kid nowadays don't really reflect off that, right? Sometimes you got to tell them, hey, you're doing an excellent job, even when they know they're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And just to give them positive feedback, like, hey, man, good job, or I see you working, or, you know, way to go. You just try to pump positivity into them, even when you know they're not doing good. So,
do you also touch base with the parents of the kids that you referee?
Absolutely. So if you ever look at my social media, if I post something about the why, it's, oh, we love you, Drew. Thank you so much. My kids had a wonderful time. Or it's a lot of grandparents. It's like, my daughter was in the YMCA program, and I wish you refereed them. So it's always a blessing to hear that. But I always tell them that just being here at the YMCA, man, they allow me to be myself, which is the cool part about, you know, being any part of the job.
Yeah, we've been trying to put the spotlight on the why from time to time. And remind her that it's not just a gym and swim, you know.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
One of the other programs. What other inspiration do you want to share with a minute or so left, Drew?
I will say, far as faith, man, my parents are big in the church, and I always grown up to be, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. And if you, you know, if you can't do it that way, just, you know, just look at it as sometimes people go through things and you might not be able to relate or understand, but just try to be as positive as you can to people and hopefully, especially for our youth, because that's our future. So you want to try to mold them and be as positive as you can to these youth. So keep treating our youth right and keep treating others right, and hopefully the world will be a better place.
Yes, all in this together. All right, leave me with the instead of the several, just one place to come to make sure I come find you, Drew.
You can find me on Facebook at Drew, D-R-U-E, Devoix, D-E-V-E-A-U-X.
Wonderful. Your parents still down in North Carolina?
Absolutely.
You haven't brought them up to Michigan?
I brought them here for the Thanksgiving. I let them stay in one of my Airbnbs. It was too cold for them. I don't know why, but it was hot.
That's a whole nother conversation. Well, good again to have you grace our presence here, sharing a bit of your story, inspiration, get involved, of course, with the YMCA as needed, and you know you're touching lives. Thanks for sharing your story, Drew.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
That will be call wrap of this week's edition of the Shelley Irwin Show. Looking forward to the next week. John Muir says, climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you and the storms their energy, while cares will drop away from you like the leaves of autumn. Go get them. Have a good weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.